Welcome to the No Response Zone, the podcast about video games, life, and other things. Mainly other things. Last week we were talking about Mortal Kombat 11 and many and other video games and Ragnar Rousey's pregnancies, apparently.
What? We didn't talk about
Ronda Rousey. Yeah, we talked about Ronda Rousey. Remember Ronda Rousey's impregnation vacation?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember now.
We all hope it's going well for Ronda Rousey.
Vacation?
Her impregnation vacation, you know. That should be a running theme every day, which is just
we're gonna follow.
We should go to E.com or something and just like, or those crazy tabloids and find out, track how Ronda Rousey's pregnancy is going. And if she fucking gets pregnant and starts posting about that shit, we're gonna be on it. That's creepy. Moving on to other things. I guess nothing's changed pretty much in the last week. We're both playing pretty much the same games and stuff, right?
I mean, yeah. I've been playing Spider-Man again.
Oh.
I want to kind of finish it. I want to get to the Platinum. Like, it's so long doing the DLCs because I want the, like, 100% of the game and the DLCs because I want those suits because I already have the DLCs. I've been playing it. Story's quite nice. Like, the second DLC, I was kind of bummed because it wasn't that good. But the third one with Silver Sable was really good. Like, I really liked the battles. It was more challenging than the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Those boss battles were challenging than the, like, you have to go in the bases and shit. And that was really challenging. Man, I liked it. And I love those suits. They look amazing.
Yeah, it was I like Spider-Man. I really like Spider-Man. It's one of the few open world games I actually did manage to finish. I'm still just playing Days Gone and Mortal Kombat 11, basically. But that's the main thing we're going to talk about today, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of stuff to play right now, so we start to focus on games that we're most looking forward, especially since, it's not... A lot of people don't have a lot of money these days, and when you gotta buy a game, you gotta make a solid decision,
Games are expensive, man.
Yeah, and you gotta take account that most games, you gotta think about the season passes and the DLCs and all the other stuff that you're gonna have to buy extra for afterwards. So, buying a game these days is kind of like a...
Yeah, you commit to the game. Once you buy a deluxe edition, you're committed to the game. Like,
yeah.
You have to play. Like, poor people that bought, like, Watch Dogs 2, like...
I know, right?
And they're like, shit!
They're like, god damn it, people that had, like, that one game, they can only buy one game a month, even if that, and that's, like, being super, super generous. People are, like, one game every, like, 3 months or so.
That's the good thing about having, like, access to all those videos, like, now, like, you can watch the presentations at E3 and everything, like, they show you a lot of the content before the game, and you can even watch on Twitch before you buy it, like...
Yeah, that's the good thing about it. You can be as informed as you possibly can before you buy a game. But even then, you might not know, dude.
Of course not.
You might not know. I don't know if this is before your time, but remember how Too Human came out back for the Xbox 360?
It was an exclusive, right?
It was an exclusive. That
I was a big PlayStation person.
But let's not talk about Too Human. It fucking sucked anyway. But the point is, expectations... Like you have to be informed, and you have to.
It still happens.
Yeah, and if you buy a game and it sucks, then you're kind of shit out of luck.
No Man's Sky. I really love this game, but I love it now. When it came out, I've been playing it since it came out. I like go sometimes and get back to it every time they add like something new, and they've been adding so much that the game is super good now. But the thing is, like, people don't want to play it because when it came out, it was absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Nothing that they promised. Now it is after like 3 years. It's kind of too late.
And that's the point about looking forward to games and, being informed to games. So we today decided that we each have a list of 3 games. We each, some are, some have a release date, some don't. Some we can, assume when they're going to come out. Some we actually have no idea when they're going to come out. And actually, we each other don't know the list that the other guy has. So it might be surprising because we each made our own lists.
Yeah. I mean, we have similar tastes and like.
Yes, similar tastes.
People like games nowadays. Like they don't like the biggest games. Everyone wants.
Yeah, but at least at the very least, we kind of like. I said my list, and he heard it, and he was like, "Oh, none of those games are on my list." We're like, okay, so it's gonna be 6 different games. The one Kevin's looking forward to the most, and the ones I'm looking forward to the most as well. And that list said six, but it might be cut down to five because some of us are four, because we might end up start talking too much about a certain game.
We'll see.
But we'll see. But right now, we each have six games, and Kevin is going to start with his first. And
I mean, my first technically is like two. It's mostly one. I didn't want to do it two separate because they're kind of the same game, even if the mechanics are completely different.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rage 2 and Borderlands 3. It's mainly Rage 2, because the timing between those games is perfect. Like, Rage 2 comes out in, like, 3 days? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, today's the 11th. It comes on the 14th.
17th.
Yeah.
No, I'm... Oh, you're right 14th. Now? Okay, 14th. So Rage 2 comes out on the 14th.
And Borderlands 13th of September, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a few months to play Rage 2.
Yeah.
Especially that the setting feels the same because you're in a different planet, like a mostly wasteland planet. But in this case, in Rage 2, they added like different biomes. So it's like a crazy part where it's like those crazy people you've seen full of color. They've been marketing a lot with the color and the pink and everything.
Yeah.
That's a faction.
Yeah, but it seems like they've made it. I mean, when I first saw the trailer for Rage 2, I just thought they were trying really hard to be like Borderlands. Because the first Rage was like more dark and more serious. It had more it had more like a depressing post-apocalyptic thing. This one's more like the apocalypse. Fuck yeah!
But
fuck yeah, apocalypses.
It's what would happen. What I like, I wanted to get to my point is like I prefer Rage 2 over Borderlands just because of the mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Borderlands mechanics, yeah, it looks like the guns feel better, but in the old ones, like the guns felt like they're cool and shit, but they feel like shit too.
Yeah, and they also feel like some.
Like they're toys.
They're like toys, yeah.
The animations are weird. I hope they fix it. But Rage 2 uses ID tech. So, well, technically, it uses the engine from Just Cause,
mm-hmm.
but it's using the mechanics of the shooting that, like, Wolfenstein has.
Yeah.
So the shooting is going
to
be amazing.
Which is something you told me that I did not know that made me really, really interested in wanting to play Rage 2 over Borderlands because I love Wolfenstein. And if Rage 2 has the shooting mechanics of Wolfenstein, then I'm there immediately. But I gotta finish Days Gone first. So, otherwise.
I mean, this game is gonna be big too.
Yeah.
Thing I also want Borderlands for the same reason. Like, not the same reason everybody, but something we love about Borderlands, loot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's loot.
Constantly.
Rage 2 is not gonna have that much. You're gonna have the main, like, base guns. I don't think they're gonna have that much. But Rage 2 is about shooting vehicles, not collecting loot.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. These games, I mean, everybody likes Borderlands because it's basically a first-person Diablo thing.
And you can play with friends.
Exactly.
You can play even split-screen for four people at home. Like, it's really good.
And so, Rage 2 comes out on the 14th.
Yeah, in 3 days.
In 3 days, and Borderlands 2 comes out in...
By the way, this was recorded on Saturday, that's why it's 3 days. It makes it like way closer to the date. So,
but yeah, this was recorded on Saturday, the 11th. So if we're saying like a certain day or whatever, then it might be different because we're speaking from that day.
So May 14th, Borderlands, September 13th.
Which brings us to
your first game.
My first game that I'm looking forward to, and then what I'm going to talk about is the one that comes out the closest to where we are now. It's actually The Sinking City, and it's made by Frogwares. Comes out on the 27th of June, and it runs on the Unreal Engine 4. So, the thing about this game is, it was called The Sinking City, I think, but I think it was going to be called something like it wasn't called Cthulhu, because that came out as well, but it was going to be called The Sinking City, or it had a different name at first. And then instead of being completely based on H.P. Lovecraft, they were just like, oh, we're going to be just influenced by Lovecraft.
This is a game they had to scratch, like...
They basically had, like, the entire story was based on the Cthulhu mythos, right? So they were going to be talking about, you know, like, the elder gods and shit like that. But I don't know if it was, like, that the rights ran out or if the Lovecraft family were, like, we don't want to be associated with this anymore. So they basically had to, like, just not make any Lovecraft references. And
that was the game
so now the so now the entire game is more Lovecraft inspired, which is gonna be Lovecraft inspired. So we're making a Lovecraft game in the first place, but then when they're almost done with it, they just have to like scrap everything that's Lovecraft and just come up with new names for shit. But it's gonna be the most Lovecraftian game to come out since like Dark Corners of the Earth for the PC back in the early 2000s. That was like a really really old game.
I don't know the game.
uh But yeah, The Sinking City, open world game, detective game.
Oh, it's open world.
It is open world.
Unreal Engine.
It's got like different things to it that I've seen on. They came out with like a 15-minute gameplay video a couple of weeks ago, maybe a week ago or so. And you know, open world, and you talk to people a lot. It's very, since you play a detective who's in this, you know, Lovecraftian city with weird bug-eyed, fish-eyed people and weird things happening and whatnot. You're a detective who's like going kind of crazy or isn't exactly stable in the head and whatnot. And you know, in the gameplay, you talk to a person, and there's not really a mini map per se. There is a mini map, but something that they did reminded me of like Morrowind. It's like you talk to somebody, right? And the dude's like, "Oh, you have to go to, let's say, Mr. Jones's house." And your character's like, "Well, where's Mr. Jones's house?" And the dude's like, "Oh, it's in the corner of Abernathy and Charles Road." So instead of having like a little dot on your map saying just fucking go there, you literally have to like look in your actual map and be like, "Where are these two roads and what is their intersection?" And actually kind of go there.
The last Assassin's Creed, actually, like, when you start the game for the first time, it tells you you have two modes of playing, like guided or exploration. And exploration works like that. Like, you have to, like, ask the people, and then on the map, he's going to tell you, he said it would be, like, east, close to this statue, but it's not marked in the map. Like, you have to get close, and then once you're close, you just use your bird and find the place when you're really close.
Yeah, so but... it's
actual exploration.
Yeah, but we're talking about two completely different types of games.
Open world.
Yeah, but no, but it's like
almost RPG.
It's
on exploration.
Just in gameplay alone, The Sinking City is
completely different. Yeah, because it's a different era.
It's a different thing. It's a different type of game. It's like, you know, just because it's open world doesn't mean it's the same as every open world game.
Saying the exploration follows the same, like having actual exploration, like you had in Morrowind over here.
Yeah. Well, in this one, it's like it's less guided. It's more like telling you. And then this is just one aspect of what I saw in the trailer that I kind of liked. You also have your detective vision, which a lot of games have, of course. And you also like piece together clues and mysteries. And it seems like the focus is more like exploration, solving crimes, or doing different jobs for people, and really being unnerved by the entire Lovecraftian, you know, elder god dread stuff that permeates stuff like that. And you know, I can't wait for it. You know, Lovecraft is my favorite writer ever. You know, right there, a couple of feet in front of me, I have his entire collected works on my bookshelf. So anything that comes out, just even related to him, I'm just like, yay! Even if it sucks, which I hope it doesn't suck. But even if it sucks, I still play it. You know, just like Nicolas Cage is coming out with a movie based on The Color Out of Space, one of my favorite Lovecraft stories.
Didn't know.
And yeah, he is, and I'm excited because I think the same people that produced his movie Mandy are coming out with it, and I'm like, that movie was fucking awesome. But it's also Nicolas Cage, and he'll do whatever for a paycheck. But just because it's based on Lovecraft, even if it sucks, I'm gonna watch it. So that's my first game, The Sinking City. Open world game, solving mysteries. You got your shooting mechanics. You got your detective vision, doing quests and stuff. You know, look it up. They have really, really good gameplay videos on it, and it comes out on the 27th of June of this year. So it comes out for the Microsoft Windows, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. This brings us to Kevin's second game.
And my second game, actually, if you know me, is not going to be surprising because it's Outer Worlds.
Oh, Outer Worlds. Yeah,
it's made by Obsidian, the people that they didn't create it, because it's most of them. It was Brian Fargo that created Fallout, but Obsidian worked on New Vegas. They kind of worked on the first and second game, the real Fallout games. So they were Black Isle back then, like they were Division. But they're making this game like again in first person, and they're not gonna add third person like they added in New Vegas, because they're using Unreal Engine 4. But the game looks amazing. I don't know if you've seen the images. Like, it's running on Unreal Engine, so the quality of it is amazing. Obsidian always making really good, like, RPGs. So, the RPG in this game, like, the factors, like, what makes it an RPG is going to be really good. They usually do good stuff with dialogues, how you work with other characters. Also, your companions are useful. They're not little shits that don't do any damage.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're talking about Obsidian here. I mean, I weren't exactly for the people that made Knights of the Republic and never went to Knights 2. Even if it's a first-person shooter, how are they not going to have some sort of, like...
You mean New Vegas? It was a shooter, yeah. And it's their best game. I'm sorry.
Don't say... I agree with you.
No, but it's not the best Fallout game.
Oh! You mean the best Obsidian game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, we're going to... No.
I'm sorry.
No.
My favorite, at least. No. Because I love Fallout. But the best Fallout game, this is, like... I'm just going to say it and keep going with Outer Worlds. Best Fallout game is Fallout 3. Don't think it's another one. Okay, so Outer Worlds, what I love is, like... They're taking, like, the plot from... Blade Runner, kind of, but making it, like, not so dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really the plot, it's, like, the environment. So, again, this is, like, kind of cyberpunk sci-fi, because it has the aspect of cyberpunk, you know, mega corporations, like, taking over the world. So, this is the case here. This mega corporations, like, going, terraforming planets, and you're gonna, I think, start in a planet that's at the edge of the galaxy. It's a colony, so you're kind of safe from them, but they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks amazing. Really, really good. It's gonna. We don't have a date yet.
No, not for
it's
that.
It's not gonna be an exclusive, but the second one, if they make a second one, is probably gonna be an exclusive to Xbox. Because Obsidian was bought by Xbox.
Well,
this one was too late, so they're gonna put it in everything.
That's one that I hadn't wasn't on my list, but I definitely have been keeping my eye on too.
Well, I'm gonna buy it day one.
Going back to things, you know, just to refute something you said earlier. Obsidian's best game. It's not Fallout New Vegas. Obsidian's best
Knights
game.
Knights of the Old Republic has a lot.
No. Obsidian's best game is Neverwinter Nights 2. I'm sorry, but yes, it is. It's Neverwinter Nights 2. That's an entire conversation. Wow, it's...
No.
It's... Yes. Neverwinter Nights 2 is an amazing
fucking...
That's a
2006 game.
So? Who gives a shit when the fuck it came out? It's an amazing
game. If you
game
want a game like this, they need Pillars of Eternity. Like, both of them are way better than this.
Wow, that's...
Maybe than a story. Like, I don't know much about the story of this game. I haven't played
Neverwinter Nights 2?
Yeah.
Oh, it's based on Dungeons & Dragons, so your story is...
I mean, like, isn't their RPG also?
Yeah.
When they created Fallout, it was, like, based on a... the system special. Mm-hmm. They had to change the name. It was based on Dungeons & Dragons, like...
Well, I mean, yes. Like, I mean, like, Neverwinter Nights 2 is based off Dungeons & Dragons, so it's based off, you know, whatever rule book was out at that time.
Yeah,
because that's, and I think the update with patches and stuff. No, dude, Neverwinter Nights 2 is fucking amazing. But that's not part of what we're supposed to be talking about today.
What is your second game, Pablo?
My
Instead
second
of talking trash about New Vegas.
New Vegas is my favorite Fallout game.
That's bullshit.
Yes, it is.
It's Fallout 3.
No,
it should be.
No, I don't. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Fallout 3, but my favorite Fallout game is New Vegas, and I think it's the best.
If you mod Fallout 3 a little, that's the best game.
Well, I don't want to, you know, yeah. That's
if you don't mod the Bethesda game, are you even playing it?
Which, yeah, that's true, but as we all know, it's not as easy to mod games on, like, consoles as it is on PC.
Those games kind of need a patch because there's a bunch of bugs.
That's true, but you know what I'm saying? That, you know, we got to account for people that aren't, you know, PC players. You have to think about people that can just be on consoles.
Even on consoles.
Yeah.
Fallout 3 is the best one. So what's your second game, Bob?
Yeah, we have to disagree on that. my second game, I'm going to talk about my third game quite a lot. My second game is, I guess, something that a lot of people are waiting for. It's CD Projekt Red next game. It's Cyberpunk 2077. Everybody knows who CD Projekt Red is. They did The Witcher 3. You don't have to really say anything else about them besides that.
And we can talk about The Witcher 1 and 2.
Yeah, of course we can talk about The Witcher 1 and 2.
Let's not forget those bad games.
Yeah,
The Witcher 2 was okay. The first one was...
They were great games.
I'm not going to trash it again because I trashed it last week.
Yes, you did. So hold up. But yeah, CD Projekt Red, everybody's excited on Cyberpunk 2077. They have this really strong mentality of, like, we'll release the game when it's done. And we're going to keep tweaking it and tweaking it until it's done. And even the last gameplay trailer that came out, which I think was like close to 20 minutes, maybe over. I think it was 48 minutes, actually.
15 minutes, yeah. 55 minutes.
55 minutes, yeah. It was really,
it was
really long.
It was gameplay reveal. It was amazing.
And it was extremely amazing. It seemed like the world was incredibly tactile.
How many times have you watched it?
Oh, way too many. I've wasted too many hours.
Yeah, me too.
But the world looked incredibly tactile, extremely responsive, just as like a cyberpunk world. created by CD Projekt Red, based on the Cyberpunk.
And they're working like hand to hand with Mike Pondsmith.
And they are working hand to hand with Mike
Pondsmith. He has experience developing actual like video games. Plus, he created Cyberpunk, so.
It's very true to what they're doing, with knowing CD Projekt Red and how, you know, how to heart they took doing The Witcher 3 and making sure that they were close to the source material, then you can be sure that they're going to do something amazing with Cyberpunk. Interesting thing is, too, that very recently, one of the lead designers of the game, I forget the name of him, he did mention when asked that, yeah, the gameplay you saw, there's a lot of things that are different now.
They kept saying it on the trailer, though.
Yeah.
Like, what you see is going to change.
So we can't, we have that trailer, but we still can't really say a lot of how we think the gameplay is going to be.
It's going to be better than that.
It's going to be better. But we know, knowing CD Projekt Red's, you know, fucking pedigree, is that whatever we saw, what we're going to get, is going to be better and more refined. And everybody knows what we saw. And if you haven't seen that that long gameplay trailer by CD Projekt, you should, because even if you don't play a lot of video games and you just interest and you just like have a passing interest in the medium, it's just jaw dropping to see what CD Projekt Red can do in terms of making a person feel like you're there, because that's something I think that makes The Witcher 3 one.
This one, they want to go even more RPG. They explained it at the beginning of the trailer. They went with first person, so it's more immersive.
Exactly.
And I think like they're gonna actually give you way more choice than The Witcher 3, because they're following a tabletop game that's basically an RPG. The Witcher, they had to follow a story in the books and shit. So now that they have more liberty, they're working with the actual creator, I think it's gonna be way more RPG, like more branches and shit.
Well, not to be an asshole, but even though the Witcher games take place in the Witcher universe on the basis of books.
Yeah, I know.
The first Witcher game starts basically at the end of the last Witcher book.
Yeah. Which, so he's not a kid.
So, yeah, so the Witcher 1, 2, and 3 are basically sequels to the books.
Yeah, but still, they cannot, like, go too far away
from exactly. They stay close to the source material.
It was made, like, a few years ago, like, they couldn't push, like, they're going to push this game. Like,
oh, no.
The boundaries of, like, the CPU and everything. This game has a really good engine. Like, that engine in Witcher 3, the fact that they decided to make their own engine instead of taking EA's engine, I mean.
And, but yeah, there is no release date right now for Cyberpunk 2077.
We'll see at
E3. Hopefully we'll see something at E3. Their Twitter has recently gotten active again. So,
yeah.
We'll see if something comes up. But we're hoping that something will be shown.
They were inactive for years. For like 5 years.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I think their first tweet was like beep.
Yeah, it was like a super short.
It was like beep. And I was like, people were like, oh my god, it's happening!
And
I didn't, oh my god, it's happening!
At E3, it was like just the conference was finishing. And then the screen was like hacked. And you could see like red. Something like that. He was reading red. And then Cyberpunk.
Yeah, they know what they're doing in terms of marketing. They know they know what the fuck they're doing.
Well, they know everyone's hyped for that game.
Yeah, because just it's like, and the fact that this little quick caveat, you know, there's been so many things popping up about developers making their, you know, their employees like do a lot of grunts and do a lot of crunch hours, and some people working like 100 hour weeks, and this popping up in all sorts of different, you know. It's also so different developers are coming up with allegations that they're fucking overworking their employees to death. People want to, you know, believe in a studio like CD Projekt Red that's like, no, we're not abusing our employees. That's why it takes us so long to make a game. But because our employees are like, you know, everybody's fucking happy and everybody's like enjoying what they're doing, we're going to come out with a damn good game. Because, you know, who didn't feel guilty a little bit playing
Red Dead
after
100 hour weeks,
you know?
Or like, at least I didn't play Anthem, and I was like, oh, like, people are crying
because Anthem was
a shit show.
And so much people, like, put, like, crunching
their
and
fucking life on
come out.
So much stress.
And then everybody hates it. That's gotta be rough. But that's actually a nice subject to tackle on an episode. We're gonna talk about something more serious. Because, you know, that's something, you know, we can think, even though Daniel...
There was, the other day, I don't know if you saw Riot Games,
mm-hmm.
The people walked out. And
they had like a protest.
Yeah.
Riot Games. Yeah. They had a protest, like, demanding, like, better treatment because there'd be like sexual harassment too.
It was there was a bunch of reasons, but they wanted just to stop, like the company, the management, to stop acting like that.
Yeah,
like in general, because there's a lot of things wrong in the company.
Yeah, they're just being respected and heard. So yeah, that's a subject to tackle on another episode about all these controversial, well, not even controversial, like they shouldn't even be happening, man.
They're not controversial.
That's fucking horrible. Nobody should be subjected to almost abuse like that just to come up with a game. Because at the end of the day, you know, we love video games, but the human fucking beings, man.
I prefer waiting a little
and having
a normal, like, mental health.
So yeah. It's that scene from, like, Network. That's a radio movie, though. It's a radio movie. The dude comes out and does his rant. It's like, I'm a human being, God damn it! My life has value! God damn it. I love that movie. I haven't seen it in forever. Either way, moving on. We're coming on to Kevin's third game. And this one might be...
There's no date.
There's no
information. There's nothing. There's
nothing.
Quick teaser that lasts 15 seconds.
Okay. Oh.
Starfield.
Starfield.
Oh. Nothing. Like.
Starfield. Wow.
God, Howard didn't say anything at E3. He showed like a quick teaser. We're assuming it's going to be next gen. Maybe if they push development like end of PS4, so it's going to be on both platforms. I don't think so. I think Starfield is going to be next platform. But the way he explained it at E3, he was like, yeah, it's a game that's really good that we make it. We're especially good at making this. So it's going to be an RPG.
Oh, yeah, of course it's going to be an RPG.
It's basically going to be an RPG in space. I hope the space travel, I wouldn't see them using, like, spaceships. I don't think so. But still, I think it's going to be amazing. It's going to be, like, Kotor level, like when you're playing, you feel like you're playing Knights of the Old Republic, not because you're in a Star Wars game, just because you're in a really good sci-fi
universe
and RPG, like Mass Effect.
But don't forget, in all those games, you know, you had the Ebon Hawk in Knights of the Republic, and you had the fucking Normandy in Mass Effect. So I think, you know,
yeah, if this travel is gonna be like in cinematics or like fast travel, I don't think you can control a ship. They don't change the engine. It's still Creation Engine.
Okay, no, I see what you mean. But I say that having some sort of customizable ship.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in the same way that the Normandy was in Mass Effect, that you could, like, adjust it, make it better.
Yeah,
it was
still your
ship.
Right.
And that was, like, your method of travel. Something like that. But at this point, you know, we have to say that talking about Starfield, anything is speculation.
Yeah, we don't
because we don't know anything about
and
it.
And I don't think we're going to get much more info this year at E3.
I think so. My opinion, if it comes to Bethesda, I think Bethesda, considering everything that's happened with Fallout 76... But let me finish. I'm saying, like, everything that's happened with Fallout 76, that shit show, and everything that's happened, the backlash that they got with Blades... I think Bethesda maybe might show a little bit more than they were expecting to show just to appease the public.
I don't think so. The way they always worked is like, we're not going to tease stuff that is coming in 3 years. Like, we're going to show you a trailer like, oh, this is a trailer for Final Fantasy VII. And we're still waiting on it.
Yeah, yeah, but Bethesda is in Square Enix.
They are like, we show you something on E3, it's going to come this year. Not if they show it in 2019, it's going to be the games, it's going to be Wolf. Because Bethesda doesn't make just the Bethesda games. They make the ID games. They make, like, they're going to make a Wolfenstein game and Doom game.
Doom
Rage. So it's like three already games, big games. They need a lot of presentation. I'm hoping at E3 we see the, like, roadmap for Rage 2. Because the, like, he said they're going to add free and paid DLC, like,
mm-hmm.
both. So,
yeah.
Like, even if you don't pay, you're going to still have a little bit of more content.
Which shouldn't happen.
It's not going to be games as service.
It shouldn't be that way.
But it's just adding. If the game is complete and just adding on top of it, I'm okay with it. Problem is with developers give you unfinished games and you're like, oh, here, this is Mass Effect. You want to play the ending? Pay. No. I like that they're like, hey, this is a finished game. And we're going to add more stuff with time, like GTA Online keeps adding stuff. So
Ghost Recon Wildlands, Ubisoft,
they do that to keep the game alive. Maybe.
Yeah. Hey, but hey, they're still releasing stuff for Wildlands.
And they're gonna release it.
I
didn't think it was a new game. I thought it was a DLC.
Actually, we'll switch again for a second, really quick. We're still talking about Starfield, but talking about Wildlands, Ubisoft did something that fucking surprised the shit out of me. for they released about maybe 2 weeks ago, right? A DLC for Wildlands, for Ghost Recon Wildlands. And I was like mind blown because I was like, they're still fucking doing shit for this game? Not only that, right?
It's kind of a teaser.
Well, hold on. It is a teaser for the new one.
Yeah.
Because in the last DLC for Wildlands, fucking, they have this character called Cole D. Walker Assumption, who's played by, you know, John fucking Bernthal, Frank fucking Castle, the fucking Punisher, you know, or if you want to go that way, he was also Shane in The Walking Dead.
I know, but I
don't. Yeah, he was Shane in The Walking Dead.
He was in The Wolf of Wall Street. He was the dude.
He was in The Wolf. John Bernthal is, he's fucking like in everything, but he's the Punisher. And he was he was like this ex ghost in Ghost Recon, the DLC for in Wildlands. And now in this new game, which was fucking, what was it called again? Breakpoint?
Something like that.
Breakpoint, something like that. He's the main villain.
He's the villain? I thought he was in your body or something.
No. He is like the main bad guy in that game.
So your team is going like rogue or something?
No, your team is hunting these other rogue ghosts.
No, your old team. The one you're playing in Wildlands since you said it appeared. Oh, in the new game, it appeared like in the
DLC. Yeah, it's like the last DLC in Ghost Recon Wildlands is almost like a prequel to the to Breakpoint.
Is it paid?
Yes, of course it's fucking paid. It's Ubisoft, I'll be expecting.
Whoa, Ubisoft has gotten better with the years. Ubisoft is not bad anymore.
But hey, they dropped like, it's good paid DLC. It's like adding to the game, like you said. Yeah. Just like their last DLC had Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell in it.
That was amazing.
Which was,
That was like, they've been in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Also, you can find the goggles, like his goggles.
Exactly, yeah.
I think they're going to make a new game soon.
Yeah, but
they keep teasing the Splinter.
Oh my god, fucking hope so.
They're gonna do it.
But you know, not to go too deep into this, you know, finish up by saying that, you know, with that, Wildlands is low key one of Ubisoft's best games, and I don't think it gets the recognition it deserved.
I think, but the second one is gonna be better because the first one was good, but it had a lot of flaws. The driving sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could play always on first person.
Not me. But that's
and I think like the game is okay, but it's kind of boring.
It's
and the second
repetitive.
One is gonna implement is what I said about this gun. The second one is gonna be better. They had a good idea. The second one is gonna be way better.
Exactly. I completely agree with you on that. But going back to Starfield, if there's anything you wanna add to it before I go on my long rant, that's gonna be my third game. It's not gonna be a long rant, but it's a game I'm very excited about.
No, I think. I'm really expecting Starfield, but we know nothing about it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when it comes to Starfield, hopefully we get something at E3, which is starting.
I think it's going to be like a 30-second teaser.
Hey, I'll take it.
Well, I want to teaser the office of the school 6, but this is going to take too long if I dip into it.
That's going to take a while. Talking about Elder Scrolls 6 and Bethesda's. Bethesda's in an interesting place right now. Let's just leave it at that.
Just a quick note. Fallout 76 has been a good game for like almost 3 months.
Hey. Well, that's good for whoever's left playing it.
There's a good player base and it's a medium player base, but we're like lovely people. We don't like, you know, they had in mind PvP.
Yeah. Nobody uses it.
We don't shoot each other. We're like, hey, here, have my plants. I cannot use them. We're super nice. But
okay, well. If you want to be a you know peaceful living in the post-apocalypse, according to Kevin, go play Fallout 76.
Yes.
Everybody there is...
And they added survival now, but we'll get into Bethesda some other day.
Everybody there is super nice over at Fallout 76 world, apparently.
Yeah. This is like a small community where...
I can just do it. Just imagine like people walking in the power armor. It's like, hey, friend! How are
you?
Every time
you see someone, you have an email to do like this.
And
we all do it. Every time you see someone, you're like, hey! We're nice people.
Fantastic. You know, Fallout 76 has turned into Ontario, Canada.
Yeah.
No offense. Oh, my God. Okay.
So what's your game, Paul?
I'm only saying it's Ontario, Canada. It's full of nice people.
I'm guessing it.
I've been to Canada. Everybody's, like, absurdly nice. And you make Fallout 76 sound like... When you shoot somebody and they steal your kill, you're like, oh, my God, I'm sorry, man. Here, take
my
kill.
We don't kill
each other. I know. I'm just... No, like a kill and take their XP. Whatever. It's just a joke. Either way, so my third game. Yeah, it doesn't have a release date yet.
Doesn't have an actual plot yet.
It doesn't have a plot. It's there's been a lot of shit released for it, you know, in terms of videos and information. But nobody knows what the fuck it's about
videos,
anyway.
Not information at all.
There's no information. I'm obviously talking about fucking Death Stranding. Hideo Kojima's new game, starring Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen, Leia Sudo, Troy Baker, Guillermo del Toro, and Lindsay Wagner. It's
even more. This, like, the cast is crazy.
There's even more people, but these are like legitimate acting people. Jesus Christ! Like,
wow.
Moving on from that. acting people. Everybody, you know, the fact that Kojima was recently in the Tribeca Film Festival with Jeff Knightley and Norman Reedus to talk about the game says that this game has, like, more than just casual gamers or hardcore gamers are looking at this game. You know, if you don't know about video games, Hideo Kojima basically invented and created the Metal Gear series, Metal Gear Solid, all that brouhaha.
The stealth we use nowadays in video games is mainly based on his stealth.
He's basically a pioneer of video games.
Metal Gear 5 is not the best game that I played, but it's the best stealth that I've ever played.
Yeah. Yes, it's, you know.
That's stealth.
But the main thing that we're discussing when we say that we don't know what it's about is that if you've played many Hideo Kojima games, you know that he can get a little bit,
fucked up, crazy.
He can get a little bit out there. He can get a little bit out there when it comes to things. I would try to slightly explain any sort of aspect of the story of Metal Gear Solid, but we'd probably be here all night. And so Death Stranding, the things that are shown are all very...
You're an Uber delivery person. You're a delivery person.
Yes!
You work for Uber.
That would be a fucking swerve, wouldn't it? That would be a fucking swerve.
You're just fucking around.
Fucking Hideo Kojima right there, fucking E3, and fucking Japan right there, pointing at the screen, going like, this is my new fucking, the new Death Stranding fucking trailer. It ends, and then you see Norman Reedus turning around. He's got a backpack with a fucking Uber logo. And then Kojima's like, yes, that's the fucking mystery. I'm making a video game about Uber and the apocalypse. Yo. Or fucking Amazon. Even better, it's about Amazon. And he's probably...
Yeah, it's the delivery of the future.
And Norman Reedus is actually a reincarnation of Jeff Bezos in the future.
No, the baby he's transporting...
That's Jeff Bezos! That's fucking Jeff Bezos, you know. And it's like, you know, Kojima's Death Stranding brought to you by Amazon. Dude, can you imagine that shit?
I mean, Amazon is making games, so
yo, just like fucking Castaway is like the, you know, Tom Hanks movie Castaway. It's basically a trailer for the, not a trailer, but a fucking advert for the U.S. Postal Service. Because, like, he goes through all that shit, and then at the end of the movie, he still delivers his one package to his one lady. He's like,
no matter how many years I was stuck in a desert island, I will deliver your package. I didn't remember that.
I'm totally sorry. I sounded like Kermit. I don't know why I went to, like, Kermit the Frog voice.
Yeah, he went through, like, mostly his Forrest Gump voice. Like,
No, that was, like, Kermit the Frog. You ever, like, Seth MacFarlane doing the Kermit the Frog? I don't have any money. No.
We do have is we particular set of skills. Now, if you don't think I'm going, I will find you. I will kill you. That's enough.
Well, look at that. Decent Kermit voice. But yeah, segueing from Kermit the Frog back to Death Stranding. We don't know what it's about. It fucking looks amazing. Every single thing that comes out of it, it's like some sort of post-apocalypse thing with invisible monsters, but it's also something about aging. And everything Kojima says about it just confuses people more. It's apparently there's going to be multiplayer involved. It's not going to be multiplayer involved. You'll be able to communicate somehow with other players, but it's a single player experience, and you're playing Norman Reedus playing the character of. Everything that Kojima says just makes the game much more convoluted, to the point that both Mads Mikkelsen and Norman Reedus, who are, you know, acting in the game, have both said, I don't know what the fuck it's about. Yeah. Like, they're like, I've done mocap for God knows how many months. I cannot tell you what the fuck the game is about. That fucking either, you know, they're saying that because, you know, they're all of them in Kojima buddy buddies, and they're just like, pretend you're confused. And then when you play the game, it's like, you know, transport Jeff Bezos. It's, the world was taken over by Google, and you, the readers, must bring Jeff Bezos to save
Amazon. Save Amazon.
Jeff Bezos.
Also, this game is using the Decima engine, the one from Horizon.
Yes, it's the Decima engine from Horizon Zero Dawn, which Horizon Zero Dawn.
It was a good engine.
It's one of the most beautiful games that have come out in this generation, in my opinion.
Like the mechanics of it, the physics of it, I really like it.
Yeah, amazing game. Yeah. Shout outs to Ashley Birch, fucking love her.
I should play the DLC of that.
I should play the DLC as well. I haven't played it. The Frozen Wilds, never played it.
Hopefully they come out with a second.
Oh, wouldn't it be sort of fucking Ashley Birch fucking heard this? I'm like, yeah, shout out to Ashley Birch. You know who Ashley Birch is, right? Yeah,
she's not gonna hear
she, it. I know, that's disappointing. She's like what? She's like Tiny Tina, Chloe Price from Life is Strange, Aloy.
She was Tiny Tina.
She's Tiny Tina, you know. Pop goes the bandit! You know, like, no, what you saying? Yeah, that's her, Tiny Tina.
Tiny Tina.
Yeah.
This is the fucking best.
So, going, dude, we got extremely sidetracked from Death Stranding because what I'm hoping about the game is that it's going to be, you know, like emotional, or that it's going to have messages, because just imagine what Hideo Kojima can want to try to say when he has like full control, creative power. So I'm really interested to see what the game is about and what message he's trying to say. And also the gameplay looks amazing. The game looks amazing. And I just want to see what it's all about in general. And, I mean, anything Kojima does, you know, after the heartbreak that was Silent Hills.
I'm happy because I wouldn't have played Silent Hills.
Pussy.
I'm not into scary games. That shit was so fucking scary. So if you don't like scary games, you shouldn't be playing that.
That's true. Right. That's true.
And Death Stranding looks like dark, but not scary.
No, well, even Kojima said that the game is about connecting people. And that he's like...
Oh, that doesn't... When he said that, that doesn't make sense.
Exactly. But
connecting people but being by yourself or something like that.
And yeah, it's...
What?
It's Kojima, man. I just want to see what the fuck he's doing. I mean, okay. I just want to see what's about. I mean, he showed the game to fucking churches.
He did. And, he's showing it to a bunch of
people. And to like... I think he showed it to Guerrilla because, you know... But that's disrespect. You know, since Guerrilla
Engine. Oh, yeah, he took the game to the studios and they actually played.
Yeah.
They played it.
Because Guerrilla.
I doubt churches knew what they were doing with the PS4.
Hey, don't install churches like that, man. Maybe they are gamers.
Yeah, but they don't have that much time.
I'm pretty sure Grimes played it too.
No, I don't think so. Wait, she was there?
She months ago, but yeah, she was like at Kojima Productions.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she fucking played it too. Everybody's played it, but the people.
Maybe she understood it. Because if someone is going to understand that craziness, it's Grimes.
I fucking love Grimes, though. Don't fuck with Grimes.
But I'm just saying, she's gone. Like, her mind is not in on Earth. You know?
Dude, that's not on Earth. Dude, she's
very. Her name is C now.
She's very creative. She's
C.
What?
Her name is C. The little C.
Did she fucking do that for real?
Yeah, she did it for real.
Jesus Christ. I don't get that.
She's with Elon Musk. They're both crazy.
Are they still together?
Yeah, they're low key together, but they're still together.
Wait. When did we say she was a fucking tabloid show about Elon Musk and
fucking? Well, when we started, we run that road.
We started Ronda Rousey. Okay. But going back, those were our three games.
There was a game I want to mention. A Plague Tale, in a sense.
A Plague Tale, yeah. That actually comes out soon.
On the same day as Rage, on the 14th. But it looks like, it looks not like a long game, but it looks amazing. Like, the graphics, amazing. And also, I like the story. Like, it's basically an action-adventure game, doing, like, plagues. Mm-hmm. And you're, like, playing a brother and his sister, and basically trying to survive.
Yeah, and they had I saw that game, they had this really interesting rat mechanics, and you had to like throw fire at it.
Yeah.
And they were like scatter and move, and the lighting made it seem like you were basically like an ocean.
Like the ants in Indiana Jones.
Exactly, ants. You mean snakes.
No, ants with the infamous movie that sucks, the fourth one.
Oh! Jesus, oh my God, yeah. Just give me fucking flashbacks to something horrible.
Which I not to remember
King,
that.
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I mean, if you remember the movie without Shia LaBeouf, like, it's not that bad.
No, if you remember without Shia LaBeouf, it's actually even worse because it had this, at least you could actually point and laugh at something. Like that one scene where he's like swinging ropes with monkeys. Come on, dude.
That was so dumb. Like, oh, you have the same hair as me. Dumb.
The one thing I liked about that is like fucking that Marion Ravenwood come back. Because I was like, fuck yeah, Marion!
Have you played ReCore?
ReCore?
Recore, yeah, it's a strange game. Well, it was made by the same people that made a Plague Tale. It's not the best. Recore was like grindy as fuck and it made you do a bunch of shit, but it was nice. The other games they made is like surprising. They're the people that made the last Zoo Tycoon.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't know what to expect from this. They mean Monopoly Plus too.
I think it might be more of like a very...
It's action adventure. It's not open world.
Well, it's action adventure, but it looked open world. It just looked very linear with giving you options of how to pass the part that you're in. But it looked very linear. It looked like it might follow a vein. I mean, it seemed like there wasn't very any combat. It was mainly just like distracting people. And
you get two kids.
Yeah, two kids. But it seems cool.
Might
be nice. It's kind of like, it reminds me of like Life is Strange 2. It doesn't remind me.
I haven't played it.
But Life is Strange 2, if I'm not mistaken, the story is also about two brothers. I haven't played it because I'm still fucking... After the first one,
I haven't finished the first one.
What? Don't! That's a good thing. I'm still heartbroken over it. I still can't do it.
Okay, thank you for spoiling it. I'm never gonna finish it.
Don't. I lay awake at night some nights just like in a ball crouched down like
should've picked me up a baby. So a Plague Tale, since it's a small game, it's $49.
It's gonna be a small game then. Well, maybe then I'll do
it. At least they lower the price. Like Far Cry New Dawn.
Yeah.
What is up with this year and doing Wasteland games? We had, in the same year, Fallout, Far Cry, New Dawn. We're going to have Borderlands 3. Outer Worlds is not really Wasteland, but it's kind of the same style.
It's futuristic, at least.
Rage. Did I say Rage?
You did say Rage. Yeah. We're going to talk about Rage, yeah.
There's a bunch of, like, same kind of games. And I'm super happy. That's my favorite kind of game. Mm-hmm. But still, like, this year seems like there's too many.
I think it's kind of saturated. I mean, it's not a first-person shooter, but you got Days Gone, which is also a post-apocalyptic game. In the post-apocalypse.
I didn't think about it.
Yeah.
It's not on my mind these days.
Well, I mean, I'm still grinding through it to get to the ending of it because the game was longer than I thought it was going to be. We're not going to get swamped into Days Gone, though, because that's... It's a lot. And there's also, there's Game of Thrones tomorrow, but besides, Grey Worm dropping his Sunday, that shit cracks me up. Have you not seen that?
I sent you that meme.
Yeah.
Me Sunday.
So that I like
Me Sunday. Me Sunday.
And I'm like, Rally Richie, fucking, he's like, dude, that plays Grey Worm. He's actually British. So I was like,
no shit.
Most of them
are British.
And he's also a hip hop artist.
Yeah.
Which has a really good.
I think we mentioned it last week.
Yeah, we did. But yeah, that shit just sounded like a British dude just saying my Sunday. My Sunday! My Sunday! That meme saying, like, he's such a fucking hypocrite. He's not gonna be with her just because they cut a fucking part of her off.
That's true.
So you fucking hypocrite? You're not gonna you're gonna leave her just because they cut something off her? Fucking dickless hypocrite. But no, he's not dickless. He's just ballless, right?
They have never been that specific because it looks like he's dickless, but I'm pretty sure he's just
the specific term they use is the same thing as Varys is, and it's a eunuch. But a eunuch is that we have definitely got into a whole fucking.
I mean, they don't call him as they call Theon. Well, called Theon because he's dead.
Yeah. Okay. So so eunuchs are people that have been castrated, and castrated is actually cutting somebody's balls off.
Okay.
So. He's just rolling sausage, no beans. Now, Theon Greyjoy loves the whole caboodle. Either Theon Greyjoy lost the sausage and kept the beans, or had the
whole... I think he lost everything. I don't even want to get into it because I don't even know how he beats.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to our respawn zone where we have... devolved into, but this is important to know. This is important shit. This is now an educational podcast about what part Grey. Now people know what part Grey Worm actually is missing.
Well, they also know what part Miss Sunday is missing.
Yeah, what a hypocrite, man! Just because he doesn't have a head, I mean, you could.
I mean, he can be only with a head.
And he can be only with a head. Oh, that's terrifying. Just like. he has like her head. He's stroking her like Masande. Masande.
He can stitch it back.
Oh, yeah, just like, you know, they did it with Rob and Grey Wind. You know, when they killed Rob Stark, they cut off his head, they cut off his direwolf's head, and they kind of stitched it together.
Oh, yeah.
King in the North, King in the North.
That was fucked up.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
I forgot that scene. I don't want to have it in my mind now.
Yeah, that was fucked up. Thank you, George R. R. Martin. So, but yeah, I mean, the last episode, that was a big thing that happened. Next episode is going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting since we don't know what the fuck is going to happen. But we are watching other stuff. We want to talk about other stuff because everybody's talking about Game of Thrones. I'm not watching a lot of stuff, but we both recently finished a show, and that we are fucking in love with.
I'm guessing it's Sabrina.
It's fucking Sabrina.
Yeah.
It's fucking Sabrina.
That show is amazing. Like the.
It's fucking Sabrina on there. So we finished. I binged the second season in 2 days. I loved
it. Oh no, I did like 3 episodes a day.
Yeah.
Okay. Before sleeping, I watched a little bit, but it was amazing. When she becomes like the Antichrist, basically. Like, that blew my mind.
I mean, if people haven't watched... Let's not do too many spoilers, because if people haven't watched The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix, you fucking should. You know, you should. It's not like the Melissa Joan Hart...
Oh, yeah, no, it's
Sabrina completely... Sabrina
the Teenage Witch, no! This one is really good.
No, they're actually...
I still love the original.
Don't get me wrong, everybody likes Melissa Joan Hart.
I used to watch it every day at lunchtime.
Much love to Melissa Joan Hart. But fucking... this show, it's more like it's satanic, which cracks me up because they're all like satanic witches and warlocks.
Well, you got the story wrong, kind of.
So instead of saying thank Jesus, they're like thank God. They're like, oh, thanks Satan, praise Satan, hail Satan.
Something wrong with her being Lilith.
Who?
Lilith. She shouldn't be Lilith. I mean, she should be Lilith, but Lilith is not the lover. Of Lucifer, she's of Samael. Lucifer technically fucked Eve. She loved Samael, who was a demon even stronger. So Lilith is the mother of demons because she was punished by God and then now she's replaced. Like, she's the mother of demons, yes, but she's not the queen of hell. I mean, they've taken an approach that is not too full, like, by the myths and, like, religion and shit. So that's kind of good because it's not, like, what you're expecting. I'm watching Lucifer, as you know. And then, like, in Lucifer, they're doing it properly. Like, you have a demon, she just met Eve, and she's like, yeah, Eve was complaining about Lilith because Lilith is the first wife of Adam. And she was complaining that Lilith was always first, and the other one's the demon. So basically, she's like, whoa, that's my mother. But yeah, this show is like, Eve and Lilith are the same person.
Well, first of all, let me just, you know, thank you for that fantastic theology. Fucking like, damn, we just went into like talking about like Samael and like, no, I'm like, whoa.
I see, whoa. When I started watching Lucifer a bunch of years ago, like, I started reading the comic and then I wanted to get like the information right and I do a bunch of research on like satanic shit.
Well, that's,
it's really interesting, you know, like, that's, angels, really interesting.
That's actually really interesting too. We should be getting closer because we're getting really long on time,
yeah, really. Really close to the end right now.
But that's another interesting point. Me and Kev, we talk a lot about video games and stuff, but we also have a lot of knowledge and other stuff.
What's a lot of stuff.
So it might be a possibility that we just start off now that maybe one of the next episodes we might just...
We're going to praise the Lord.
No, we might praise the Lord. We might just fuck around and praise the Lord. We could have a different discussion about more like, as opposed to video games, you might just go into theology, just fuck around, yeah. You know. I'm
kind of a little section sometimes. Yeah. From time to time, like, drop a little knowledge.
I've always been very interested in theology, all of it. You know, recently I finished Norse Mythologies by Neil Gaiman, and I learned a lot about actual Norse Mythologies. My next tattoo that I'm working on is actually based on the... Yes. I keep telling everybody it's based on Fenris, Wolf, and Gleipnir, you know, the story of Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So, and you obviously fucking...
I mean, I have a lot of knowledge about Christianity.
Yeah.
I never believed in it, but since I was a kid, I was, like, interested in it because I saw it as more like fantasy and shit.
Exactly.
So I have a lot of knowledge because I love that shit. That is, like, it's so dumb because, like, it contradicts and, like, there are things like, how do you believe this? But if you take it as fantasy, it's really interesting.
If you take it as fantasy, it's really interesting. And that's actually, you know, I just had an idea. We're gonna end the regular podcast like here.
It's like,
and then maybe possibly we'll add or post like a little shorter one, talking about these little.
Yeah, we can post it like midweek next week.
Yeah, we just a little shorter one, not as long as it was the one talking about. So we're gonna talk a about 20-minute
one,
like a little 20-minute thing if we continue this conversation.
Mini episode.
But the regular podcast, we're gonna end it here, and just hopefully next time. We'll have juicy Game of Thrones episodes to talk about tomorrow. And yeah, I guess tomorrow that's going to be a good one, and we might even drop some knowledge on the NBA playoffs too and give our thoughts on that.
Well, we live in Miami and I've always been a Miami fan since I was a kid,
it's been
a long time since I've been a Miami fan because they suck, so I'm not that much this year into the playoffs because
But yeah, like we said, we might have we'll finish this episode in our respawn zone, and we might record a little bit more, talk about the audience stuff, and drop like a shorter one to keep the 7 other people besides me that listen to it entertained. But you know, hey man,
hey, let's get to 10.
Hey, Kevin over here said we're not even gonna have 10 in fucking 5 episodes. We got 1, we got 7. There we go, man. Look at that. That's. But yeah, I'm
expecting 10.
Shout out to everybody that listened.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
7 listeners.
7 listeners that we had.
And if they get to this part, because yeah.
Also,
thank
my
you.
Mom. My mom listened to it.
Oh, hello, Pablo's mom.
we're gonna end on that note. And we'll be back next time on the No Respawn Zone.